Y'all awake this morning? Seems a little groggy in here. Huh? I came in and I said, it seems like it's a little dark in here. Are the lights on? The lights are on. It's just one of those days. Amen? Amen. But you don't know, on this dark and dreary day, this might be your day. Amen? This might be your day to be blessed. Amen? That's why we can't take days for granted. Somebody went to bed last night just assuming that they were going to wake up this morning. Amen? But many people across the country did not. But you did. Look at somebody and say, you did. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Not only is it January 6, 2019, the first Sunday in the year, but this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Sometimes you got to talk yourself into things. When you're not feeling it, when you're not, first of all, this life is not based on feeling. It's not based on emotion. It's not based on your circumstances. It's based on your beliefs. Amen? So as we start the new year, and before I start this message, I saw something that basically summed up a lot of our complaints and gave a scripture to offset it. So I just thought I'd share it with you before we get started. It's what I say versus what God says. Amen? Or what I should say, what we say versus what God says. We say it's impossible. Amen? We look around the city, we see things getting worse by the day, we see young people killing each other, we see the drug epidemic, we see this, we see that, and some might say it's impossible. But God says, all things are possible in me. That comes from Luke 18 and 27. All things are possible with me. Many times we say, I am too tired. Nobody in here has ever said that, right? How many times you say it this morning? I'm too tired. But according to Matthew 11, 28, God says, I will give you rest. Amen? Many of us at times say, nobody loves me. But Jeremiah 31 and 3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Amen? And let me just take a sidebar there for a moment. Especially, maybe not so much for us older folks. Well, yeah, us too, but especially for the young folks. Don't base your value on the number of likes you get on that picture that you put over Instagram, on that picture you put on, or whatever you posted on Facebook, whatever you said on Twitter, right? Don't base your worth on the number of likes or the number of retweets that you get. Amen? And I say that because they say that feeling you get from a like or a retweet or somebody that shows you that, you know, that they liked what you... That's the same feeling that an alcoholic gets when they drink. It's the same feeling that a drug addict gets when they do drugs. It's called dopamine, right? It's the same type of feeling. It's that adrenaline. It's the same type of feeling that a gambler gets when they're gambling. Amen? It's that rush that we get. And what happens is, a lot of times young people will sacrifice their standards to get more likes. In other words, if I just show a nice picture of me smiling, I might get a few likes. But if I show a little cleavage, or I show a little leg, or I show my butt, or something like that, then I get all kinds of likes. Oh, I ain't talking to nobody in here. It's just, you know. And when we get all kinds of like that, dopamine acts up in us and we see, oh, wow, people like that when I do that. So we do it more and we sacrifice our standards. But your value is not based on your likes and retweets and all this stuff and the things you post on. You know, we all do it. We post something on Facebook that we think is so cool or so great. We post it and then we keep checking how many people liked it. How many people did that? You know, we keep checking it to see what kind of action or reaction we got. Young people post things on Instagram to see how many people are going to like it. How many, you know, it's that. But don't base your value on that. Because God loves you with an everlasting love. Amen? And the great thing about God's love, these people that are liking and loving you, they don't even really know you. They don't know the real you. They only know what you let them see. God knows the real you, the nasty you. God knows your thoughts. God knows your intent. God knows you from the inside out. He knows the worst things about you, and he yet loves you with an everlasting love. Look at somebody and say, now that's love. Amen. All right, I'm off my soapbox. Many times we say, I can't do this anymore. Many times we get to the point in our lives, it just seems so stressful, so overwhelmed. I can't do it. I can't go on. But God says in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that my grace is sufficient. Amen. We say, I'm not able, and many times we're not. But God says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, I am able. Amen? Many times we claim, I'm always worried, I'm always stressed, I got so much on my mind, I'm worried about so many different things. And in 1 Peter 5:7, God says to us, cast all your cares upon me, because I careth for you. Sometimes in this life, we feel all alone. And it's real. We feel alone. It kind of goes with nobody loves me, but we feel alone. And in Hebrews 13:5, God says, I will never leave you. Amen? He will never leave us or forsake us. Sometimes we say to ourselves, you know what? I messed up so bad. I just messed up. But according to Psalm 37:24, your mistakes don't define you. Sometimes we just flat out say, I can't do it. But God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, according to Philippians 4:13. Sometimes we say, I can't figure it out. And he says, I will direct your steps, Proverbs 3:6. I'm not smart enough. I just don't have the intelligence. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, I will give you wisdom. Amen? I know many people from the older generation that never went to college, and many never finished high school, and some of the most wise people you ever want to meet. because they live their life according to what the Lord has for them. And God gives us wisdom. You know, many times we say, I'm not skinny enough, I'm not fit enough, I'm not fast enough, I'm not this, I'm not that. Well, one thing I would say to you is stop comparing yourself to others. And the thing God would say to you, according to Psalm 139 and 14, is that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? So if you know that about yourself, you can work on everything else. All right? God always has an answer. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, and for your many blessings. Bless us even now as we go into your word. Lord, help us to bring the message that you have for us today. We thank you for forgiveness of sin. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, touch hearts and minds today, Lord. Lord, situations that we are worried about outside of these four walls, we ask you to bless them. Bless the people, bless the circumstances, even as we go forth in your word today, Lord. Help us to find things are better when we leave here. And Lord, help us to be better as we leave here than even as we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. We thank God for being saved today and on the Lord's side. Thank God for bringing us into a new year. We want to go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. We just want to encourage you today. How many believe that you're a growing follower of Jesus Christ? That you're a growing follower of Jesus Christ. You know, one thing about growth that we need to understand in this journey that God has given us, the race that he has set before us, is many times we're hard on ourselves because we don't feel like we are where we should be. Amen? You ever been there? You just don't feel like you're where you should be based on this, that, or the other. And whether that is the case or not, one thing we always have to understand and remind ourselves and encourage ourselves with is we may not be where we should be, but we certainly aren't where we used to be. Amen? So if you're not where you should be, that's fine. You can, you know, you can look at that and you can put things into place to, you know, do what you know you should be doing. But just please don't be so discouraged that you don't move, because you're certainly not where you used to be. Amen? Even those of you that have been in this way, been in this walk for 20, 30 years, you know, we should not be stagnant. We should be moving forward. Amen? Open every day to learn new things. Repent every chance we get. Amen, and continue to live this life that God has for us. To be a growing follower of Jesus Christ. The first point, I'm only going to make three and then we're going to be done. The first point is, a growing follower of Jesus Christ believes wholeheartedly in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we have to continue to remind ourselves and focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's the good news. Amen. When we go outside of these four walls and we come into contact with all people from all walks of life in different situations, all we really have is the gospel. Amen. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the first four verses, it says this. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Amen? The gospel is the good news that Jesus has come to save us from ourselves for himself. From ourselves for himself. Many times when you talk to somebody about being saved, they say, from what? Saved from ourselves for himself. Apart from Christ, we face the wrath of God for our sins. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is what? Death. In Christ, we receive forgiveness of our sins and the righteousness of Christ. The gospel not only gets us saved, but keeps us saved. The gospel not only justifies us before God, but it also sanctifies us in God. The gospel tells us that we have been born again, according to John 3:3. That we have been made new creations, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Our lives have not just been made better or cleaned up, but rather we have been made brand new. Some people use the illustration of someone drowning to explain the gospel. They say it's like you fell overboard onto the ocean and were drowning. Your only hope was for someone to throw you a life preserver that you could grab onto. And Jesus is the life preserver that keeps you from drowning. Jesus saves. However, the truth is that the situation is much worse than that. You are actually dead and lying on the bottom of the ocean. You have already drowned. Jesus dives down into the water, pulls you out, and resuscitates your dead and lifeless body back to life. You were dead, and Jesus has brought you back to life. If you don't believe it, look at Ephesians 2. Amen? This good news, that God has not left us to our own demise, but has tracked us down as a hound of heaven. This is what we stand on. Once Jesus gives us new life, he then sends his Holy Spirit to live and dwell inside of us. Our lives are no longer lived for the glory of ourselves and the rest of mankind. In other words, our lives are not lived for the number of likes that we get, for the number of people that like us, the number of people that say good things about us. We don't live our lives for that anymore, but now we live our lives for him, the one who died for us and was raised from the dead. Each day we wake up and trust that the gospel will enable us to get through the day. This gospel will equip us to reconcile relationships. This gospel will energize us to love others with the love God has given us. Even to this day, you win people through love and kindness. Amen? Love and kindness. Love and kindness. Whether it's the young person on the street, whether it's that person on your job, whether it's that person that you run into in the grocery store, whether it's the person that you run in doing different things throughout the day, it's love and kindness that draws people. Amen? A growing follower of Christ believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. A growing follower of Christ also lives in the rhythm of repentance and faith. Amen? While the gospel has wiped out our past, our present, and our future sins, the truth remains that we still sin. And even though our sins will not be counted against us if we repent and ask God to forgive us. He died for our sins. God still desires that we live a life of confession and repentance. Just because we have grace does not give us the license to just go and do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. I always go back to that statement in the Bible. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? What's the answer? God forbid. Amen? Just because we have grace does not give us the license to just go and continue in sin with no regard to Jesus Christ. Amen? The beautiful thing about grace is that when we do fall, when we do find ourselves coming up short, that we have a Father that loves us so much that He will forgive us of our sins, have mercy on us, and give us what we don't deserve. And that's grace. Amen? So whether you like it or not, in this life, there's two things you're going to have to do as a follower of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to repent, and you're going to have to forgive. Not the two favorite things we like to do in life, right? We don't like to admit we're wrong when we're wrong. We like to, it's got to be somebody else's fault, Fred, that I did that. You made me do it, or you made me do it, or something made me do it, right? And then, oh, God forbid, you hurt me, you do it to me. No. Amen? But in this life, you're going to have to repent and you're going to have to forgive. Considering yourself. We look at it, the first step as far as repentance goes starts when we honestly examine our hearts to reveal the sin, the idols, and the things that we are believing that are not actually true. You see, now in these days, we don't concern ourselves with idols too much. A lot of times we think of idols as these statues that people used to worship in the old days. But we have idols. Don't fool yourself. We have idols. Amen? We have idols. Well, these are things that you put before God. Amen? We have idols. So when we look at our fallen and sinful condition, we need to expose it. This leads us to confess our sin and rebelliousness. Now again, I know this is not something that we like to do, but it's vital in our walk and in our opportunity to grow. Amen? A lot of times the reason why we're not growing or we're stunting our growth is because we're not dealing with the issues that are going on in our lives. Instead of exposing the sin, instead of exposing the things that we know are not like God, we like to bury those things. We like to hide those things. We don't want to talk about those things. Amen? We want to act like, well, it's really not there. But you can't grow and go forward until you deal with those things, until you expose those things. Amen? Believe it or not, you know how we say everybody has a list? The things we struggle with? You can knock things off your list. They don't have to stay there. They may be on that list right now, but you can knock those things off your list if you deal with them. Amen? But you got to deal with them. You can't act like they're not there. That's one of the beauties of the grace group and things of that nature, and also having somebody that you're accountable to, that you can tell them anything, and you don't have to worry about, you can just tell them what you did and what the situation is and pray for me in the situation. Exposing the sin. See, the devil, the enemy wants you to hide it. He wants to embarrass you. He wants to put you out there, but if you want to hide it, that's fine with him, because he knows that every now and then he can pull it up and use it against you. As long as you hide it, as long as you don't deal with it, as long as you don't expose it, he can continue to use that against you whenever he wants to. You're giving him license to use that against you when you don't deal with it. You know you got an anger problem, and you don't want to admit that you have an anger problem, and you don't want to deal with that anger problem. You want to act like it's not there. Every time you get into situations, he's going to rise that anger up and cause you to show out on yourself. But there's many scriptures in the Bible that can help you with your anger problem. There's people that can help you, there's things you can do to knock that off your list if you want to expose it. Amen? And remember, repentance is not just saying you're sorry. Amen? Repentance is saying you're sorry and then changing your ways. Right? Because if somebody does something to you that hurts you, and they say they're sorry, you say, okay, and then they come and do it again and say they're sorry, and then they come and do it again and say they're sorry, pretty soon that sorry doesn't mean much to you, does it? Huh? They can say they're sorry all they want, but all you know is the same thing keeps happening over and over again. So repentance is not just saying I'm sorry, but it's dealing with that you're sorry about and changing your ways. Many will say it's doing a 180, not a 360, because then you're right back to where you started. But a 180 and going in a different direction. Amen? Repentance helps us to be a growing follower of Jesus Christ. There is no need to hide it, because even if no one else sees it, God sees it, and he's offended by it. Our confession leads us to repent and believe the gospel. Repentance involves hating our sin and turning away from it. We got to get to the point where we hate it as much as God does. And then we can deal with it and turn away from it. We have to believe that the promises of God are far better than the promises of the world. Finally, we will work with the Holy Spirit who lives in us to change us. In case you haven't found out yet, you cannot change yourself. As much as you want to, as much as you desire to, as much as you intend to, you cannot change yourself. Only God can help you with that. Only God can change us. However, he does want us to participate in the process. Amen? It's not a situation where we just sit there and say, change me, Lord. No, because if you ask him to change you, he's going to start through the Holy Spirit. He's going to start giving you direction, and he's going to start giving you things to do to help with that change. So you have to be a participant in the process. Amen? I always say it's the first of the year. Everybody has resolutions. You can't go to the gym and just look at everybody else working out and expect it's going to rub off on you. You got to participate in the process. Amen? You got to get on the treadmill. You got to lift the weights. You got to run the track. You got to walk the track. You got to do whatever it is in order for you to see the change. You have to be a participant in the process. Now, where we go wrong a lot of times is we ask God to change us or help us, and he gives us the things that we need to do for that to happen, and then we don't like what he has to say. Well, I didn't really want to do it that way. I don't want to give up this. I don't want to stop going there. I don't want to be away from this one. You want to change or not? See, we want to change, and then we want to change our way. I want to encourage us today, so let me stay on encouragement. He does want us to participate in the process. Thus, we live our lives in rhythm of repentance and faith. This connects to the body of Christ. We were made for relationships. Following Jesus is a journey that best happens in the context of community. None of us are as strong as all of us. Amen? And that's why it's important for us to gather together as believers, because I need your strength, you need mine, I need your encouragement, you need mine. Amen. It's like the song that we sing, I need you, you need me, we need each other, right? Because sometimes I just don't feel like praising God. Sometimes I just don't feel like looking at what the word says, and I need you to say, come on, you know what's right, you know, come on, we can do this, right? We need each other. Throughout this process, you cannot isolate yourself and be a growing follower of Jesus Christ. Within the body of Christ, deep friendships are fostered and people are cared for and encouraged to intentionally and passionately follow Christ. Amen? And did you ever notice, you ever think about, even with all that we've been through, in all of our situations, it's like there's a bond that we have with each other in here. It's like you all are family to me, and I don't hardly ever talk to you or see you during the week, but there's a bond there. You know what I'm saying? It's like when I see you, that's family right there. That's, you know what I mean? There's a bond that we share together, and it doesn't come from us talking all the time or hanging out all the time. It just comes from us being spiritual believers in a house within a community. Amen? Relationships are important in this walk. When you're struggling, you can't stay home. Make your way. The enemy wants you to stay home and wallow in it, but make your way to the house of God. Amen? Because there's just something about how sometimes we don't even have to say anything to each other. Maybe it's just a hug or a handshake or a smile, whatever the case may be, but relationships are important in this walk. And the third and final point I want to make about being a growing follower of Jesus Christ is that followers of Jesus Christ loves their neighbors unconditionally. And I know this is a hard one for us sometimes, but we just need to understand the situation. The gospel tells us plainly that Jesus loves us unconditionally. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? There was no condition for us to be loved by God. We didn't have to clean up our act in order to get right with God. God initiates his unconditional love to us. We were once his enemies, according to Romans 5 and 10. The application of this truth is that we too should love our neighbors unconditionally. As gospel believers, we can't put any conditions on our neighbors, friends, or family in order for us to love them. And this is what we do a lot of times. But we have to understand that God didn't put conditions on us when he loved us. In the world, we like to say, you do something for me and I'll do something for you. You have to earn my love. Well, we need to understand that that wasn't true between us and God. And it shouldn't be true between us and anybody else. But some might argue that there is a great deal of sin and outright antagonism toward Christianity these days. Our culture is full of immorality. How am I supposed to love someone whose worldview and lifestyle is completely contrary to mine? And the answer goes back to the gospel. Paul puts it this way in Colossians 1, 21 through 25. He says, "And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." Paul knows the reality of the state of people's hearts, yet he exhorts the church in Colossae to be reminded of where they once were, how they were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. We have to understand, we all came from that place. I always find it mind-boggling how we don't understand, we get surprised by the actions of people who aren't saved. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they're acting like that. I can't believe they talk like that. I can't believe they do the. Well, why can't you believe it? Why do you expect them to live saved when they're not saved? Why don't you believe it? Many of you talked like that before you got saved. Many of you acted like that before you got saved. Many of you were that way before you got saved. But we're always astonished and just appalled by the way people act. Well, they're sin. They don't know God yet. What do you expect from them? We need to love them where they are. Show them love and kindness and watch what kind of effect it'll have on them. Amen? The Bible talks about when you show love and kindness toward people that necessarily would, you know, the world says they don't deserve it, it's like heaping coals on their head. It melts them. They don't understand why somebody's being so kind to me, so loving to me. I'm not used to that. But that's God. Somebody showed you loving kindness, and it's our job to show it to others. We cannot forget in this journey where God has brought us from. Many times as followers of Christ, we get on the Lord's side and we forget where we came from. Amen? All of a sudden we want to be like Paul was before he was knocked off his donkey, right? We want to start judging everything. Now that you're on the Lord's side, now, that's wrong, oh, they don't do that right? All of a sudden, we want to judge everything. Don't forget where you came from. Amen? And don't forget where you are. Who are you? If it had been for Jesus, who are you? We're nothing. We're nobody. If it had not been for Christ in our life, who are we? I'm no better than her. I'm no better than him. By the grace of God go I. Amen? We can't remember where God has brought us from. We have to remember our own selfish lifestyle that was in contempt of God and denounced Christ as Lord. We have been made new creations. We have been reconciled to God through Christ. We have been saved from the inside out. So when you look at somebody and say, there's no way that person's going to change, remember yourself. Amen? There's no way that person's ever going to believe in Jesus. Don't kid yourself. When you say things like that, you're basically saying that God's not powerful enough. That the cross of Christ is not sufficient to save. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nobody that's unreachable. There's nobody that's gone too far. Amen? So we need to stop saying that. We need to believe that God can save anyone at any time. Amen? When you see the sin in others, try to see it and look at the root issue. Your friends, your neighbors, and unbelieving family members are the way they are because they are slaves to sin, just like you were before you came to Christ. Therefore, go and look at how Jesus viewed the lost as people worth going to find. Fred said it last week. Jesus didn't come for the whole. He came for the sick. He came for the sinner. He came for those that are lost. That's why he came. That was his purpose. He cried over them. He reached out to them. He built relationships with them. He loved them unconditionally. And that's how he won them over. The power of the gospel living in you gives you the reason and the ability to love your neighbor unconditionally. Amen? So as we walk through this journey, running our race that God has set before us, no, maybe you're not where you want to be, but you're not where you used to be either. Amen? We need to remember where we came from. We need to expose the sin in our lives and deal with it. Amen? We need to love others unconditionally like God has loved us. And we need to come together and continue to come together because we need each other. Amen? You might not think you need me, but you do. I need you too. Amen? I need you too. We need each other. It's important that we continue the process, that we continue to come together. Amen? Because you just don't know how God wants to do this thing. You just don't know how God wants to work this out. All we need to do is be obedient to him, continue to be open to him. Amen? Love others and continue to ask God to work through you. Because once you accept Jesus Christ in your life, it's about allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you to do what needs to be done. And for you not to question it or to fight it, but just allow it. Just allow. Be open. Just be open to what the Holy Spirit has for you to do. And it'll never bring you in the wrong direction. It'll never lead you down the wrong path. Things are already laid out for you if you just walk in it. Amen? If you mind the things of the flesh, you'll walk after the things of the flesh. If you mind the things of the Spirit, you'll walk after the things of the Spirit. God bless you. Amen? Let us stand.